dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney. I'm pleased to be your host and to escort you about what I think of as the battle space of the war for the free world with my favorite people, starting most immediately with Fred Grandy, my colleague at the Center for Security Policy, where he currently serves as our executive vice president. He is my colleague in this radio program, and he is a former member of Congress, as well as a man who has graced stage and screen, a man of many parts, in short, and a guy that we look forward to visiting with each week to sort of do a retrospective on some of the highlights of what we've been covering and what need to be thought about by all of us. And Fred, unfortunately, today's news brings us yet another incident in which an American serviceman, in this case a special operations warrior, one of the best we have, had the man he was supposed to be training in the Afghan Special Forces turn his weapons on him and kill him. This is not the first, sadly, of this kind of so-called green-on-blue act of violence. A more accurate way of describing it is treachery.
Right.
But give us a sense of what is going on here, both with respect to Afghanistan and how the United States military is, behaving at the moment.
Well, I guess the way I would put it is it appears we have already surrendered, admitted defeat, so I don't know why we have not evacuated. The analogy that I'm thinking of is helicopters on top of the embassy in Saigon, because we've essentially, I think psychologically, admitted defeat. I mean, if you couple with what you just reported, with what General Martin Dempsey has said in terms of telling soldiers what they may and may not do, and we couple that with Secretary Panetta disarming the Marines and the stories about rules of engagement that change constantly to favor the enemies and not our own troopers.
All of which, as you know, are documented to a fairly well in our new course, the Muslim Brotherhood in America, the Enemy Within. It really, as you say, it's a litany that's just appalling. But excuse me, go ahead.
Well, I guess, and the point about that course is that this is not accidental. It's not coincidence. It is part of a very sophisticated information war that has been in operation for decades now, but essentially so cunningly under the radar that until this course has come forward, there has really been no way to connect the dots. But if you look at that course, and then you see the actions of Martin Dempsey or Secretary Clinton in sending $1.5 billion to the Egyptians without any strings attached whatsoever, you begin to see the enemy has so penetrated our policymakers and their decision-making capabilities that we are essentially conspiring with them to hurt our own troops.
No, I couldn't agree more. And again, folks, if you haven't checked it out yet, please go to MuslimBrotherhoodInAmerica.com. Take the course yourself. This particular bit is in part 9 of the course and constitutes a very serious drill down on how the phenomenon Fred Grandy's just been describing of, submission as a practical matter to both Sharia and an information dominance campaign by our enemy is translating into mutations of our policies that are going to get a lot of people killed, including, unfortunately, more of our servicemen. I was very heartened, Fred Grandy, that one of those who currently graces the Capitol, as you previously did, Michelle Bachmann, used the occasion of several interviews yesterday, one with CBN News and the other with Glenn Beck's radio program, to talk about her belief of the need for some serious responses to these kinds of revelations. What she got in mind, and boy, I sure hope we can help her do it.
Well, as you know, obviously, because we have been briefing Michelle Bachmann regularly, and she is one of the few members, I think, and hopefully there will be many more with her leadership, that are looking at courses like the Muslim Brotherhood in America, beginning to connect the dots and saying this is an absolutely critical issue right now, and particularly with this president running for re-election. But in terms of investigations, it's hard to know where to begin. But one of the initiatives that I hope that she will help us champion is this whole question of what's happened to our counterintelligence training and standards, to the point where the FBI is purging files. Terms like jihad and Sharia are not allowed to even be spoken. And some of our most adept and intelligent training officers, like Stephen Coughlin, are being told they need not apply. And all of this is coming from guys that you would think would have no portfolio at all, like this kid, Spencer Ackerman, that writes for Wired magazine, but seems to be telling the Department of Defense and the FBI what they can and cannot say.
Well, at least he is a vehicle, a conduit through which the Muslim Brotherhood is telling them what they can and cannot say. And in fact, as you know, Fred Grandy, what's so frightening about all of this is it's not just that they're purging the files of very good and valid documents and briefings and so on. They are actually taking instruction as to what can be said from here on out by the Muslim Brotherhood itself. It's if this is allowed to go forward, it will be our undoing for sure. Speaking of the Muslim Brotherhood, Fred Grandy, one of the things that just, I guess, hopefully continues to inform our thinking about these guys and the insanity of giving them $1.5 billion, as you say, let alone empowering them or legitimating them, are some of the reports out of Egypt as to what they have in mind doing there. Tell us what's the latest.
Well, I've just got two stories in front of me this morning. And as you know, my partner in this conspiracy is my wife,
Mrs. Fred,
otherwise known as Mrs. Fred, who usually before I come to work here leaves me articles to take to work. And the two this morning are one from the Daily Mail Online: outrage as Egypt plans farewell intercourse laws so husbands can have sex with dead wives up to 6 hours after their death. Yes, they're actually considering this. I didn't even know this was part of Sharia, but another reason to be very apprehensive of what's going on there. And the other one is that apparently one of their most popular comedians, a guy named Adel Iman, is now has been found guilty of insulting Islam for movies he made 20 years ago. This guy is the equivalent of Jon Stewart or Steve Martin, Frank. And now they're saying things that you did a couple of decades ago are punishable. And this is absolutely chilled free speech.
I guess what this really suggests is the magnitude of the heinousness, really, of this program. Andrew Bostom, one of our colleagues who has deep mastery of Sharia, has brought to light some evidence that, in fact, there are at least some in the Islamic tradition who believe that Muhammad himself had such a farewell intercourse, and therefore, on that basis, this is now considered to be, a needed improvement in the Egyptian culture. But it really goes to the heart of how completely at odds this is with Western civilization, to say nothing of our Constitution. And for us to be aiding and abetting it in any way, let alone, you know, submitting to it, is an abomination. Fred Grandy, we have an anniversary coming up next week, and I'm going to get into this, I think, with Bill Gertz shortly, but I'd like to get your sort of take on it. Next Wednesday, I believe it is, marks the first anniversary of the takedown of Osama bin Laden in Pakistan. There's some report, or some concern at least, that this anniversary might be marked by renewed acts of or efforts to engage in terrorism in this country or against our interest elsewhere. We've been told this week that the war on terror is over. Is it not the case that perhaps some of these jihadists didn't get the memo from the State Department?
Well, they wrote the memo. I mean, from everything I can tell, this is essentially more of the Muslim Brotherhood at work, essentially educating and, if you prefer, enlightening our State Department and Defense Department officials.
Disinforming.
Nothing to worry about. The war is over because bin Laden is dead, because Gaddafi is dead, because we have essentially, like the Old West, gone out and with our posse rounded up bad guys, and so there's no more badness. But as you know, it is the institution And the organization that is so successful in this country through the Muslim Brotherhood organizations like ISNA and CARE and the Islamic Circle of North America, which is currently telling us how wonderful Sharia will be once it gets in place along with our Constitution.
We're really going to learn to love it. That's right.
Yeah. So Fred, I mean, I
one of the things I love
really
about you
celebrate.
Is that there's always more to talk about. We've got to let you go to get inside the cloakroom with Gus Bilirakis, congressman
right.
from Florida. We'll head you off to do that. And we will say goodbye for this week. Thank you again for joining us, as always, and keep up the good work. We'll talk with you soon.
We want to know what you think. Leave your comments at 1-800-332-7131.
My name is Sunday Hollis, and I totally lost the craving for sweets. I totally lost the cravings for bread, even meat. And some people, you know, you would see people say, well, you're eating a salad because you're trying to diet, but you just don't have a taste for any of the junk anymore. And it is so, so, so true. I'm thinking this is something that the celebrities are using. They're just not giving the meta system the credit for it. I've tried everything under the sun, and this is the only product that I have even called the company and asked them, could I sell it for them? This is a product where you can actually use the word awesome. I mean, and it is the whole essence of the word awesome.
Don't wait another minute to start losing weight. Call Judy Singer's The Meta System at 1-800-711-JUDY. That's 1-800-711-JUDY.
The first step in winning a war is to know whom you're fighting. 9 years after 9/11, the U.S. security establishment has failed to tell us. The very words we need to describe the war are being outlawed. We went from the war on terror under Bush to the war on man-made disasters under Obama. Neither identifies the threat doctrine behind the aggression, Islamic Sharia law. That's why the Center for Security Policy assembled Team B, an independent group of national security professionals, including Bill Clinton's Director of Central Intelligence, James Woolsey. The result is a book that challenges the assumptions of the current administration and exposes the supremacist nature of Sharia and the jihad its adherents are obliged to engage in. This report names the names of those responsible and makes plain the mortal peril now posed to America's Constitution, our national security, and way of life. For more information, visit ShariaTheThreat.com or order your copy of Sharia, The Threat to America at Amazon.com.
Experts say there's no shortage of crude oil.
There really is no shortage of oil at the moment.
So why do gasoline prices keep going up?
There's all this fear that's out there, and that really goes a long way to making prices go up.
And home prices seem to be headed even lower.
We really aren't seeing any markets that are showing any sustained recovery at this point.
Now more than ever, is this a timeout or a double dip?
We could halt the economy's recovery in its tracks.
1260 WRC. New choice, intelligent talk.
You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. Fred Grandy in for Frank Gaffney for this segment because we are in the cloakroom with a friend of Secure Freedom Radio. He is Congressman Gus Bilirakis of Florida, a member of the Foreign Affairs Committee, a member of the House Committee on Religious Persecution, and somebody that I had the pleasure of visiting just about a week ago when Congressman Bilirakis invited me and our senior fellow Cynthia Farahat down to address a group of Coptic Christians in his district. And Congressman, I guess what I'd like to begin with is your takeaway from the meeting that we had with your Coptic Christians and Greek Orthodox Christians down in your district.
Well, I thought it was very positive. I'm sorry, Fred, about the laryngitis. I'll do the best I can. I thought it was very positive, and we brought attention to the issue, and that's what we need to do. The folks are, they know that there's hope out there, that there's a voice out there speaking for them. And I think, Fred, your suggestion was good. I think we do need to do more of these forums around the country and bring in, Christians, fellow Christians, to get the word out. And the Egyptians, the Coptic Egyptians, don't need to know that Americans are behind them.
Well, obviously,
and they were watching the government. Yes.
Obviously, they know you're behind them, because obviously there was a lot of praise for what you've said and already done. But at this point, unfortunately, it seems you are part of a small but hopefully growing band of, and at this point, they are mostly Republicans that are speaking out on this. But just in preparing this interview this morning, Congressman, these are instances of the ongoing war on Christianity in the Middle East. In Egypt, 1,500 Muslim activists harassed the Notre Dame language school in northern Egypt, which is not even a religious institution, but apparently was accused of perhaps having religious leanings and was attacked, and teachers were harassed. A gentleman in Egypt has been sentenced to 6 years in prison for supposedly insulting Muhammad. Now, up to this point, defamation of Islam was a misdemeanor. But to appease the growing number of Salafists, apparently the judges are now doubling these kinds of sentences. American teachers have been killed in both Iraq and Yemen for preaching Christianity, and I'm saving, I think, the worst for the last. The Palestinian Authority, to whom we just gave $147 million, has declared the Baptist Church illegal in, are you ready for this, Bethlehem.
Unbelievable.
So yeah, it is unbelievable, and this is my problem. It seems to me that we need to make a larger voice so that groups like your Coptic Christians and many of your Greek Orthodox Christians who are being harassed in Turkey. The U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom has just declared Turkey one of the worst offenders of religious rights, whereas they used to be saluted for their religious freedom. So I guess what I'm asking you is, how do we make this a larger issue for your colleagues in Congress?
Well, I think we need to have some forums here, and I know we discussed this, Fred, but I really think the only thing these people listen to is the foreign aid, restricting the foreign aid, Fred. And as you know, with your assistance, we were successful in the House in placing restrictions on the foreign aid, the over $1 billion that goes to Egypt, so that the Coptic Christians and other religious minorities are protected. And, of course, we want to keep the peace treaty. Egypt needs to keep the peace treaty with Israel. And we got it through the House. We thought it may take a couple years. We got it done this year, and it became law. And Secretary Clinton placed a waiver just like that. I mean, you talked about the increments, giving the money in increments, and certification. And she did away with it, and very disturbing. But I think that's what they listen to,
well,
Fred, is if we can take away some of this foreign aid until they start treating their people better. What you said is it's unacceptable as far as I'm concerned.
Well, to that end.
Receiving our taxpayer dollars for crying out loud.
Yeah, well, that's incredible. That's where I think a lot more Americans need to be brought into the loop. And as you may know, Congressman, the Center for Security Policy has just released an extensive 10-part online course called The Muslim Brotherhood in America, which deals with a lot of this. And we are encouraging members like you to at least look at that 15-minute executive summary, because it covers all of the infiltration and religious persecution, both foreign and domestic. And I guess what I'm hoping for is there will be more people like you who we begin to encourage their colleagues that this is a real problem. So let me ask you something specifically about today. Assuming you and some of the people that have already spoken out, like Frank Wolf and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and Louis Gohmert and some others of your colleagues, can continue to raise their voice. You've got a big vote on the floor of the House today, to some degree a trumped-up political argument that the president has leveled against Republicans about maintaining the 3.2% rate on student loans, which, as I understand, most of you Republicans are in favor of as well. Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
So the fight is over the funding. And it seems right now the fight seems to be the usual kind of right-left mantra. Nancy Pelosi is accusing you guys of gutting women's health to pay for this. Apparently Republicans are accusing the Democrats of trying to put payroll taxes and payroll tax hikes on small business. Why not use the foreign aid budget to pay for some of these domestic concerns when we already know that a lot of this money is going to abet religious persecution.
Why not? And I agree with you, Fred. I'll address that. We'll bring that in conference. I'll make it a point that we need to do that. And why not? All this money, exactly. I mean, you say we made a commitment to religious freedom and human rights.
Mm-hmm.
We have to live up to it. And like you said, these are tough economic times and we're throwing this money away. And people are, you know, these governments are using it against their own people. So you make a good point, Fred.
Let me ask,
and I definitely will pass it along.
Well, we appreciate that. And again, what we're trying to do is give you guys in Congress some cover with this course.
I'll take a look at it, I promise you.
So some policy ideas as well. And this is one that I know.
And we need to talk to our fellow colleagues. There's no question. We need more people behind this issue.
Well, I realize that this is an election year and a lot of you guys are fighting for survival as you always are, and domestic issues for the most part, Trump, foreign aid. But it seems to me, Congressman, there's a larger issue here that a lot of your colleagues, particularly on the Republican side of the aisle in the House, can get behind, which is the high-handedness of this administration. For example, the Secretary of State telling you and your colleagues, after you specifically said, do not send $1.5 billion to Egypt in one lump sum without conditions, she said, sorry, guys, I'm doing it my way. She did the same thing with $147 million to the Palestinian Authority. The FBI is being told to purge their files of materials that are deemed offensive to Muslims. Some of these are as simple as comparisons between Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. So it seems to me there is an issue here for those of you in the legislative branch to say the executive is superseding their authority in unprecedented ways.
Absolutely. A lot of backdoor legislation taking place, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's another reason, in my opinion, Fred, we've got to replace this administration.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
Just down in your district, talking to your folks, and as you know, you've got kind of a mixed bag down in your Clearwater area because you've got a very strong Coptic presence, Greek Orthodox presence, but CARE is also fairly prominent in your area. How do you deal with those conflicting forces?
Well, I don't think they're credible. CARE is credible, and I do the right thing. And I do my homework, Fred,
mm-hmm.
and I do what's best for the United States of America and what's in the best interest of my constituents.
Are they going to give you a hard time in this election? Have they pretty much declared war on Gus Bilirakis?
Well, you know what? The people, I go out and I speak to my constituents and tell them the truth, and I vote the way I want. And then let the chips fall where they may. But we've got to start standing up for our country, Fred. And that's what I plan to do.
Well, that's encouraging. And again, I hope that you and this hearty band of, for the most part, newer members of the Republican Party in the House will start standing up and making this issue. Because not only is it obviously morally right, which is the most important thing.
Absolutely.
I think it's politically expedient right now. So, Congressman Bilirakis, thanks for being with us on Secure Freedom Radio. And Frank, we'll be right back with former Israeli Ambassador Yoram Ettinger.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Hi, NBA forward Kevin Durant from the Oklahoma City Thunder. Here with Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck to remind you to get moving every day.
Because when you get moving an hour a day,
you'll have more energy to do the things you like to do.
And that's a slam dunk.
Whether you like to shoot hoops like me, skateboard, ride a bike,
or dance on your roof, just move it your way.
For an hour a day. Because moving every day puts you on the offense towards a stronger you.
And that makes you part of a winning team.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Bugs.
So be a player.
Be a player.
Get up, play, and move it your way. Check out how to be a player at letsmove.gov.
Head online to get tips on great ways to get moving every day.
You said it. At www.letsmove.gov. Let's hear that one more time, Doc. That's www.letsmove.gov. A message from the Ad Council and HHS.
For decades, the Democratic Republic of Congo has endured economic collapse, poverty, and war. More than 3.5 million people have died in the conflict. Today, rebel forces continue to wreak havoc in the eastern Kivu provinces. The International Rescue Committee estimates that 30,000 children have been recruited as soldiers, and thousands more have lost their parents. Most of these children lack the most basic level of goods, security, and most especially, clean drinking water. Yet, there is a well of hope coming to eastern Congo in a village called Uvira. Washington, D.C.'s National Community Church is partnering with Global Outreach to bring a water pipeline to the Congo for Christ compound, an orphanage for children who have lost their parents to war and AIDS. Building a clean water source will sustain the school, provide for the children, and hundreds more in the village. Go to www.waterforcongo.com. Learn about the work of Global Outreach and give. You can be part of the community in Uvira, and like a well, you can be a source of hope in life. www.waterforcongo.com.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. All I can say is thank God for Michelle Bachmann. Yesterday, she made what should be big news in appearances on the Christian Broadcasting Network and on Glenn Beck's radio program. The Minnesota Republican and one-time presidential candidate denounced the role the Muslim Brotherhood is being allowed to play in how our law enforcement personnel and military are being trained to counter the threat posed by Islamists who seek our destruction, a group that, as it happens, includes the Muslim Brotherhood. Representative Bachmann is absolutely right to be alarmed at such penetrations of our government. She told Glenn Beck she is leading an effort on Capitol Hill to get inspectors general of key government agencies and the House committees responsible for their oversight to investigate these Brotherhood operations. Godspeed, Michelle Bachmann. This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Learn more at securefreedomradio.com.
What are you doing?
Filling out a loan application.
I can help you get approved, you know.
Really? How?
With this.
A bag of sand?
It's not a bag. It's a pouch. And it's not sand. It's credit fairy dust.
Credit fairy dust?
Yes. I sprinkle some fairy dust on the application, and your credit rating magically improves.
There's no such thing as the credit fairy.
An unbeliever now. But what will you think when your loan is approved?
I'll think my credit score improved because I paid my bills on time, kept my credit card balances low, and only opened a new card if I really needed it.
It's the dust.
It's sand.
Don't deny the credit fairy.
There's no magic to improving your credit, but there is help, and it's free. Go to creditfairy.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the Consumer Bankers Foundation, the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights Education Fund, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Frank Affney. You're listening to Intelligent Talk on WRC 1260 in Washington, D.C.
Now more with Frank Affney.
I am thrilled to be able to bring to you a guest that we frequently speak to from his native Israel, but who happens to be in the offices of the Center for Security Policy at the moment. I'm not myself, but we're speaking with him from there. He is Ambassador Yoram Ettinger, formerly represented his country as a liaison to the United States Congress, now associated with the Second Thought Initiative, and a go-to guy for us at Secure Freedom Radio in talking about developments in the Middle East and how they are of concern not simply to Freedom's outpost there, namely the State of Israel, but also to ourselves. And Ambassador Ettinger, we haven't spoken in a little bit. There is a sense that things are continuing to unravel with respect to the Iranian nuclear program. The United States, as you know, is now into yet another of what seem to be endless rounds of negotiation. How concerned should we be in the United States, not just in Israel, but in the United States, about a nuclear weapon in the hands of this particular regime?
Well, anyone who examines national priorities of Iran should realize that the number one target for Iran is the U.S. And the Western world, for a simple reason, because for Iran, the number one goal has always been the domination of the Persian Gulf. And the number one obstacle on the way of attainment that goal has been U.S. military posture in the Gulf, in the Indian Ocean, and globally speaking. And therefore, Iran develops its super capability in order to remove the super obstacle on the way of attaining the super goal. The American concern is a derivative of the direct impact of a nuclear Iran. Namely, should Iran become nuclear, one can expect a rapid meltdown of all pro-American regimes in the Middle East, which would cause havoc to the supply and the price of oil. Should there be a nuclear Iran, it would provide a tailwind to global Islamic terrorism. Should there be a nuclear Iran, it would bolster Iranian posture, which already is substantial in Venezuela, in Colombia, in Bolivia, in Ecuador, in Mexico, America's backyard. And certainly, should there be a nuclear Iran, there would be a major boost to nuclear proliferation. Turkey will not stay behind, Egypt will not stay behind, and if the Saudis survive Iran, they would also acquire nuclear capabilities from Pakistan, and before we know it, there would be global nuclear insanity undermining global stability.
Let me add one other dimension to this set of concerns that you've raised, Ambassador Yoram Edinger, and they're comprehensive and, as you've made clear, very worrying indeed. Reza Khalili, a former Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps member who turned out to have been working for the CIA for some time, as you know, has come to the United States and has been raising a series of concerns about many of the same issues that you've been talking about, knowing as he does from the inside this horrifically repressive and, well, messianic regime. His latest blast, if I may use that expression, is that Iran may have acquired a neutron bomb from the Soviet arsenal as it was unraveling, which would give it the capacity to unleash an electromagnetic pulse attack on the United States, something we've been talking about and warning about for some time. If Iran, in addition to all of the other things you've just described, had the capacity to unleash a catastrophic attack on the United States using this so-called EMP capability, do you think that the Iranians would shrink from using it?
Well, it seems to me that we need to approach Iran based on the track record of this regime. And this regime already proved to us its ruthless unpredictability when they unleashed, so to speak, or sacrificed 500,000 of their youth to clear minefields when they fought Iraq during the 1980s.
Let's explain that, because this is such a stunning fact. They marched them through the minefields for the purposes of detonating the mines, right, killing all these children in the process. Just a staggering statement about their treatment of their own people and therefore their attitude towards the rest of us. Excuse me, go ahead.
But beyond that, here we have Iran with potential wealth that could have transformed this country into one of the leading high-tech and educational countries in the Middle East and beyond. But instead,
the trajectory it was on the way to being with the Shah of Iran, let's refer.
Right, right. But instead, they have harnessed the entire wealth to do one thing, and that is to advance their megalomaniac aspirations. Namely, we should expect from an unpredictable regime to continuously perform unpredictably, and we should expect from a ruthless regime to persist in the ruthless manners, and certainly no country in the world should plan its future based on the best case scenario. We are best served by being ready for the worst case scenario.
Yeah, it seems to me that's especially true, Ambassador Yoram Edgar, of the Second Thought Initiative in Israel now, that you have to have such expectations when you're dealing with a regime that, on top of the other things you've said about it, which are all true, of course, has this belief that it is put in place by God, by Allah, right, for the purpose of bringing about the emergence of this golden age of Islam precipitated by the apocalypse.
Well, it seems to me that one of the lessons for the U.S. is to realize that Iran is basically the challenge and the test for the U.S. as far as Middle Eastern Arab countries are concerned. The Saudis, the Bahrainis, the Kuwaitis, the Jordanians, and the Egyptians are concerned about a potential nuclear Iran. And at a time when, unfortunately, too many U.S. policymakers are still preoccupied with the Palestinian issue and Arab-Israeli conflict and Jewish settlements in the West Bank and Judea Samaria, these are the tumbleweed. They are smothering sandstorms which are threatening Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and Abu Dhabi and Dubai and the supply of oil. And instead of Jordan. Being preoccupied with the tumbleweeds, one should direct all efforts towards Iran, because this is the test for of the U.S. in the eyes of Arabs in the Middle East. Namely, is the U.S. in touch with reality, or is the U.S. detached from reality?
Yeah, to say nothing of a reliable ally. Ambassador Edinger, let me ask you a question. We spoke earlier this week with your colleague Carolyn Glick, also based in Israel, as you know, and talked a little bit about the attitude of the Israeli people towards further steps down this illusory road of land for peace. No matter how much the Americans press on Israel to proceed down that path, as you say, out of this woolly-headed thinking of the administration, if the Israeli people have now really concluded, seemingly across the political spectrum, that this is madness, presumably there will not be any such further concessions contemplated by their government. Is that in fact the case today, or are there still people on the left who are as, insanely attached to this idea as ever?
Well, first of all, we should never underestimate the strength of wishful thinking, yes. Unfortunately.
Sure.
And people hang on to wishful thinking irrespective of reality. However, there is no doubt that in recent years, especially since the eruption of the current seismic tectonic Arab street, it has dawned upon a substantial number of left-of-center Israelis that wishful thinking has nothing to do with reality, and therefore the two-state solution is basically delusion, and that in the final analysis, in this type of Middle East, Israel cannot survive without control of the mountain ridges of Judea Samaria, and there is no such thing as land for peace, but in fact, as it is globally acceptable, there is peace for peace. And when it comes to bringing about peace, you have to signal to the aggressor that aggression requires payment.
It will not pay to be aggressed
absolutely.
Upon. Mr. Ambassador, we have to let you go. Thank you very much for joining us. As always, Ambassador Yoram Edinger, great to have you with us in Washington.
Thank you.
Shabbat Shalom. We'll
Shabbat
be speaking
shalom.
Next
Thank
with
you.
Bill Gertz about, among other things, our new course, which he wrote up in the Washington Times recently.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
I was able to lose the 80 pounds I gained due to pregnancy. It was pretty easy. Eat whatever I wanted and not think about it.
The Meta System from Judy Singer has been helping make weight loss easier for a quarter century.
My husband's grandmother used it 20 years ago to lose weight for a wedding and said it was the only way to go.
The Meta System also has an excellent support staff.
They were very supportive. The first time that I ordered the product, they called me and suggested that I order a lower dosage to begin with. They didn't want me to jump the gun right off the bat, and it was not nice to know that they actually cared.
And the weight loss is so dramatic, people wonder.
With the Meta System, I've got many questions about how I managed raising a baby and working full-time and lose the weight and eat whatever I wanted.
People who use it recommend it.
I suggested the Meta System to my mother, and she has lost 30 pounds.
Learn more about weight loss with Judy Singer's The Meta System by calling 800-711-JUDY, 800-711-JUDY. The Meta System from Judy Singer, the powerful all-natural way to lose weight, 800-711-JUDY.
Hey, this is Frank Gaffney. My day job is running the Center for Security Policy, which each weeknight brings you this program. But Secure Freedom Radio is just one of the important contributions the Center makes to the common defense. We call our team the Special Forces in the War of Ideas. Like the real special forces, we strive to be agile, creative, and highly effective in identifying threats to our country and how they might best be countered. We can't do all this without you, though. Also, like the real special forces, ours need ammunition. And in the war of ideas, ammo is money. The Center is a non-profit, tax-exempt organization. Contributions to its work are tax-deductible and an important investment in your security and freedom. Find out more about the Center for Security Policy and how you can help keep its special forces team in the fight by visiting securefreedom.org. Many thanks.
If your walls could talk, what would they say?
I have held the same mirror for 13 years.
I have been decorated with purple dinosaurs, baseball teams, and football helmets.
I have witnessed 33 Thanksgiving dinners and one wedding proposal.
I have tiny notches marking the growth of three children.
I have caused a learning disability.
I am the reason that a fifth grader simply can't sit still.
I am responsible for a five-year-old's rage.
Just because you can't see lead paint doesn't mean it's not on walls, doors, windows, and sills. Today, lead paint poisoning affects over 1 million children. If your home is built before 1978, your family could be at risk. Let's make all kids lead-free kids. Log on to leadfreekids.org or call 800-424-LEAD.
I am the reason a child has trouble hearing.
If your walls could talk, what would they say?
Brought to you by the Coalition to End Childhood Lead Poisoning, EPA, HUD, and the Ad Council.
In Washington, Hugh Hewitt has the diagnosis.
They don't understand the need for speed.
Oh, we'll get to it. Don't worry. We'll get it done. Open amendment process, blah, 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 blah.
Not in the least bit clued in to the sense of urgency, but I don't think the Beltway is.
I'm just beginning to think it is a Beltway disease.
Kind of an invisible wall separates them from what the people think.
The Hugh Hewitt Show, weeknights from 6 to 9 on 1260 WRC. New Choice, intelligent talk.
If you're a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, like me, coming home can be harder than expected. I felt a little out of place, but it turns out I wasn't alone. At IAVA.org, there's a free online community of thousands of OIF and OEF vets who've got your back here, just like they did over there. So now, I'm never alone. I can get the resources I need and talk to tons of people who understand where I'm coming from.
Whether it's navigating the GI Bill
or VA hospitals,
managing the transition home, or meeting people you can share stories with,
you'll find it at IAVA.org. Even if it's just everyday stuff, like getting tips on where to find a nice sweater for my dog.
Did he just say that?
What?
Okay, maybe not that, but everything else. No matter where you are, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org.
We got your back.
Brought to you by Iraq Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We are back with our regular feature of the week on this point of the program. We've got our colleague and friend Bill Gertz of the Washington Free Beacon, where he is currently a senior editor and also the author of Inside the Ring, a superb and must-read column in the Washington Times, author of numerous books, including The Failure Factory. And Bill, there's a failure factory at work, and you were kind enough to write it up a bit yesterday in your Inside the Ring column in connection with the course that we've done on how the United States government is really being penetrated by Muslim Brothers, and by virtue of that penetration, policy is being subverted. Michelle Bachmann, Congressman Bachmann, has taken to heart some of these warnings and has indicated that she's interested in getting some investigations going, both by inspectors general and by committee chairman in the House. To the extent that you're following this as intimately as I know you are, and you hear somebody like the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Martin Dempsey, announcing that we're basically going to allow the Muslim Brotherhood, didn't quite put it this way, but it's the practical effect, Muslim Brotherhood to tell us what we can train our military to know and think about the threats they pose. Can you imagine a more screwed up situation, one more likely to result in our defeat?
Well, as you're fully aware, this is another symptom of the failure to wage a war of ideas against Islamist extremism, which is ultimately the way that we'll win the war on terrorism. And It's a sad state of affairs that you know, we're not fully understanding the nature of the enemy. That's really the issue.
Yeah, and as Sun Tzu, among others, has said, you can't defeat them if you don't know them for sure. A manifestation, Bill, further of that kind of problem was reported just today. I was speaking with Fred Grandy about it earlier in the program. I wonder what your sources inside the military are telling you about the seeming evidence, further manifestation, as you put it, of the unraveling in Afghanistan, that we're having still more of our troops, in some cases the very best of our troops, killed at the hands of Afghans who are supposedly on our side.
Well, this is a serious, serious problem of being able to vet the Afghans. And the issue is whether or not these people are penetration agents or they're Muslims who've become inspired to jihad against the United States somehow after they have been trained. But this is clearly going to be a major problem. You know, I wrote about this in my book, Enemies. It's a counterintelligence, counterterrorism problem. To be able to have the kind of database and to do the kind of vetting that's needed to make sure that your force is secure internally. And, you know, this has never been a strong point for the United States. Our military, our intelligence, our government in general, they don't like the idea of having to suspect other people. You know, I went to a recent
inside conference. The wire, most especially, right?
Exactly. I went to a recent conference on Jim Angleton, the late CIA counter spy, and it was a hate fest against Angleton, who was doing his job to try and find foreign penetrations within the CIA. And ever since that, in the 70s, we've had a very difficult time doing really good counterintelligence and internal security.
Right. You know, on that very point, Bill Gertz, of the Washington Free Beacon, we had a conversation yesterday with Michelle Van Cleave, who, as you know, was formerly in charge of counterintelligence for the United States government under President Bush. And she pointed out that we haven't had an arrest of a Russian intelligence operative in this country since, I think she said, 2001, and that we're unfortunately ignoring as this kind of incredible level of effort by the Russians continues, the fact that there's at least apparently one more mole that we had reason to believe back in the Hansen days was still at large inside our intelligence services. So we may not like to suspect others. We may not want to do what Jim Angleton used to do, but heaven help us if we allow ourselves to be left vulnerable to these kinds of penetrations by the Brotherhood or the Russians or the Chinese or others. Speaking of the Chinese, Bill Gertz, you follow them as closely as anybody in Washington, I think, and do certainly better reporting than just about anybody on what they're up to. You had a couple of things in recent days in your various outlets that I want to call attention to. One, your piece in the Washington Free Beacon about Chinese cyber warfare today, coming at the backdrop of congressional action on a cyber security bill in the House yesterday. Also, some developments involving the National Defense University and the kind of red team that has been operating there for some time. And finally, if we could stitch all this together, the so-called pivoting of the administration seems to be belied, the pivoting, that is to say, in response to China, by the fact that they've just agreed, apparently, with the Japanese to withdraw some 9,000 Marines from nearby in Okinawa. Tell us what you make of all this.
Sure. Well, first of all, the piece I had today is a very significant one. It's based on some recently translated Chinese military writings, which show that the PLA, the People's Liberation Army, has written extensively in at least one article, and this was done by a senior colonel in a unit called the 4 PLA, the 4th Department of the General Staff, which is their cyber warfare and electronic warfare department. And he outlined in detail in this piece that I got a hold of that they're planning to use a system of systems approach to destroy U.S. computers and network infrastructure in future attacks. A second piece that I also got a hold of talks extensively about plans for using high-powered microwave pulse weapons to destroy satellites. So I think this kind of gives us a taste of really where the Chinese military is putting its efforts in the future to defeat the United States in any kind of regional conflict. As for the movement of the Marines, This has been underway for a while. They've been planning to move 9,000 Marines to Guam. There have been local incidents that have made it difficult. A lot of the leftist groups in Japan have been lobbying to get the Marines to move. It's not a good thing. The Marines are essentially there as a backup force in case the balloon goes up on the Korean Peninsula. That said, there is this pivot going on, and they are looking at ways to better distribute and mobilize our forces. Moving Marines to Guam is probably not the best thing for us in terms of having to deal with any kind of contingency dealing with China or North Korea, for that matter.
For that matter, that's right. It's a pivot out of the region rather than in. And finally, Bill, this is a little bit of inside baseball, but I think it's an interesting and characteristically Gertzian recognition of how things like the National Defense University fit into, well, as you put it earlier, a war of ideas, or at least our understanding of the enemy. Specifically, there's been some evidence that the administration or the Defense Department is going to shrink the sort of work that's been done by a Chinese sort of oversight operation there. What's going on, and does it have significance in terms of the other things we've just been talking about?
Oh, yeah. This is a very significant story I've been covering for a long time. The NDU has a center called the International National Security Studies Institute, and it has a component called the Center for Chinese Military Affairs, which was mandated by Congress maybe a decade or so ago, probably 15 years. And this was done by conservatives who were concerned that the U.S. intelligence community was missing the Chinese military buildup. Unfortunately, as has happened, bureaucratically, that center was taken over by what I call the Benign China School, people who made it their primary mission to play down or dismiss threatening developments by the Chinese military. Well, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs is working to basically defund that center, and that will be a good thing. But I was hoped that this were, again, the center would really become an alternative assessment place. But instead, it was just really became this promoting the
enemy
China
line.
Is not a threat theory.
Yeah, this is a classic example of what you've chronicled in your book Failure Factory, Bill Gertz, about how the U.S. bureaucracy actually is as often as not part of the problem. And thank you for your reporting on this this piece of the larger puzzle. And Bill, all of the other great work that you do at both the Washington Free Beacon and in your Inside the Ring column, we appreciate those as well as your books, and of course, not least, your appearances here with us each week. Thank you, sir. Have a great weekend. Keep up the
Thank
good
you.
Work. And to the rest of you, I hope the same, and that you will join us again next week, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks so much for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.